You're listening to Over the Night on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Matt Harab.
Welcome back in. This is Matt Harab here on SB Nation Radio, and let's talk NBA playoffs. Now on the line with us is Shane Young, NBA columnist and analyst for B-Ball Breakdown. You can follow Shane on Twitter at YoungNBA. Okay, Shane, I want to start with the Western Conference because to me it's quite impressive the resume of teams that we have this year. Can you put into context just in NBA history just how deep and how top-heavy this year's Western Conference really is?
Yeah, Matt. I mean, thanks for having me on. It's crazy that the last time we've seen something like this was 2013-14 and then 2008. Those 2 years specifically, I mean, it took 48 wins to get in, 48-49. I believe the Suns missed the playoffs 1 year in 2014 after they won 48 games. So this is about what we expected with this deep field, but we did not expect Minnesota to have injuries and be all the way down to eighth, which makes the first round matchups just wild. Houston gets 65 wins and now they're playing Minnesota fully loaded again, so I mean they don't have an easy road to the finals. And now we have Thunder Jazz in the first round. It is going to be hectic, and there's going to be no sweeps in this entire playoff. That's what I think.
So wow.
That's great. That's great for the league.
No,
really great.
It absolutely is, and it is different than it was over the last couple of years when it was pretty obvious that the one seed was going to beat the eight seed. I think in both conferences, really, I mean, just thinking back, that's just kind of how it was. Can you, again, I'm going to ask you to put this in a historical perspective, because I remember talking a couple days ago on my show how the Thunder, I thought it would be an intriguing matchup if the Thunder at that point, they were the seventh seed, were to take on the banged up Golden State Warriors. And then literally the very next day, the Thunder jumped from 7-4. They jumped from having to play on the road. Now all of a sudden they have a home game. Can you remember a final day of the NBA regular season where there was so much to play for?
No, man. Like historical context, I mean, I've only been covering the league for about 7 years, about 6 or 7 years that I've been really hardcore covering it. And this was the first time in that span that I can remember. I did not have my bracket set. I was literally waiting until the final buzzer of the last game, which ended at 1:30 in the morning or something like that. And that was when the matchups were set. I mean, we knew the East was going to be the same 18s. We didn't know if Minnesota or Denver was going to be in as the eighth spot out West. And the Thunder, like you said, if they lost that game to Memphis, which was unlikely, but if they lost that, they would have been seventh or eighth. Probably eighth, yeah. But since they won, they're fourth. So, I mean, it's been a nightmare for journalists. It's been a nightmare for radio hosts that can't really spit out the accurate information because they don't know what's going to happen from night to night basis. So I think Oklahoma City got, you know, I wouldn't say the bad end of it, but I mean, because they do have home court in the first round, but they would have liked to play Golden State instead of Houston.
Yeah, no, I think so, too. And just going back to yesterday, I mean, you used the word nightmare. I mean, yeah, it was that in one sense, but it was also just so much fun. Like, I compared that Timberwolves-Nuggets game kind of to like a play-in game in the college basketball tournament, like an 11 playing an 11. Shane Young is our guest, NBA columnist and analyst for B-Ball Breakdown. You can follow Shane on Twitter at YoungNBA. All right, so we're based out of Houston here. How much issues do you think that they're going to, the Timberwolves could pose? No Luke Mbamute. The Timberwolves, to me, are a good team and they have a good coach, but I predicted this series would go five games because the Rockets have that much talent. Are you kind of in the same boat?
Oh yeah, I have my bracket right here. I picked last night after I watched the game that Jimmy Butler tore his meniscus after 25 minutes. That was against Houston, and I really liked what I saw from how Houston was attacking in that game. I tweeted earlier, they're 4-0 against the Wolves this year. An offensive rating, which is points scored per 100 possessions, of 129.8. That is ridiculous. Wow. And that's not a small sample size either. That is a 200-minute sample. I mean, that is about as close to just obliterating an opponent for four games as you can get offensively. I do think that because Minnesota's high-octane offense, they're faster than normal. They really have Jimmy Butler back now, and he looks like he's fine. I mean, I thought he's going to take a while to come back and get into his groove, but he looks fine to me. He looks just like he did before he got hurt. I think that they can win one game because they're so hyped up from this playoff drought ending 14 years. Mm-hmm. They're back in the playoffs. I think that they can win a game at home. But, I mean, what's going to essentially screw Minnesota is that for 48 minutes of play, there's going to be Chris Paul or James Harden on the
right.
floor.
Yeah.
And whenever Jimmy has to rest, when Wiggins has to rest, or Jeff Teague for that matter, they are going to be exploited because their bench has not been good all year. It's had flashes where you could see, okay, Jamal Crawford helps this team a little bit, but then, I mean, for 90% of the year, it's just been a train wreck off the bench. So I expect Towns, Wiggins, and Butler to play 48 minutes a night because that's what Tom Thibodeau likes to do, is run his starters into the ground. And that's the only hope they have of winning one game, I would say.
Shane, the one team in the Western Conference that I was completely dead wrong on, and I'm never afraid to admit when I'm wrong, is the Pelicans. I said when Boogie Cousins went down, they don't have a chance to make the playoffs. Now they're a sixth seed. They're coming in on a 5-game winning streak. My problem with them in this series is handling the Blazers' guards. They're just so good. How do you see that matchup rolling?
Good thing you mentioned that, because I was also wrong. But like before the season, when we thought Boogie was going to be there the whole year, I picked them to win 37 games and miss the playoffs. They've exceeded that by 11 wins, and Boogie has missed half the season. So, I mean, that's terrific on their part. The two coin flip series in the entire playoffs that I have looked at since last night, Boston-Milwaukee, just flip a coin, because I think that's what that's going to be. And then Portland-New Orleans. As you mentioned, I think that one you can just flip a coin. I have it going to 7. I think that just home court and the way the old Rose Garden, now the Moda Center, the way they get their crowd into it down there or up there in Portland, Damian Lillard is made for that stage, made for that moment. I don't think Anthony Davis has the necessary help this year to do this. It's great that they won 48 games. It's great that they got 6 seed. It helped his MVP case. He could be second or third now on the ballot. But, I mean, I think Portland would take that in 6 or 7. I'm going to go Portland in 7, but that's going to be the only coin flip West series.
Shane Young is our guest, NBA columnist and analyst for B-Ball Breakdown. You can follow Shane on Twitter, @YoungNBA. Interesting. So you think Milwaukee and Boston is a coin flip.
Yeah,
is that the Brad Stevens effect? Because I'm looking at this and I'm saying Milwaukee has basketball. I think it's just common knowledge that basketball is a star-driven sport. And Milwaukee has the star in the series in Giannis. Boston lost both of theirs to injury. Is that the Brad Stevens effect? The fact that he's such a good coach and he's such a good schemer that this is a coin flip series to you?
Oh, 1,000%. I mean, like Brad Stevens, if this team was coached by anybody else other than the top five coach of the year candidates, because all those guys are worthy of it, if it was coached by just a mediocre coach, I mean, they would not be where they are. He has really given them the boost. I think that he's one of the only coaches in the league that gives his team like a 10-win boost. I mean, Pop's obviously in that same stratosphere there, but they don't have enough offense, man. Like they just don't. Like, it's so inconsistent. Some nights Horford will be on it. Some nights Jason Tatum will be aggressive in attacking. Other nights, I mean, they had to rely on Rozier, and I don't think I want to rely on Terry Rozier in the playoffs yet. I mean, he's going to be a good player. I just don't think he's going to be the guy that you lean on, and it's really unfortunate for them. But Milwaukee, the reason I think it's a coin flip series, as you said, is because Milwaukee, whenever you experience a team crap in the bed as many times as they've done this season, I mean, there's so many games that they should have won, and then they just choke it away at the end because they either don't give the ball to Giannis, which is common sense, it would seem. You give the ball to him and let him go to work. They try to run pick and roll with Chris Middleton and Eric Bledsoe, try to do some stuff with John Henson giving him mid-range jumpers. I'm like, what are you doing when I'm watching them play? And they are the biggest mess of this 16-team playoffs. I thought Washington was a mess earlier in the year, but Milwaukee, to me, is just they have not gotten it together offensively, and that's the biggest thing. And defensively, they can't get any stops because they play an outdated scheme. They try to attack every pick and roll and trap it near the three-point line, and that just gets them pounded inside in the paint. So I think that it's going to be a 7-game series between Boston and Milwaukee.
Shane, the most interesting team to me in the Eastern Conference is the Philadelphia 76ers, just because we're not exactly sure when Joel... Well, do you have an update, first of all, on Joel Embiid in terms of where, when, and in fact, he will come back? And how do you see this series going against the Heat? Because honestly, as just a basketball fan, I have no horse in this race, so I just am hoping for good basketball. I kind of want to see Philadelphia play Cleveland in the Eastern Conference Finals. I think that'd be great. But first, do you have an update on Joel Embiid, and how far do you see these 76ers going this year?
It's crazy about Embiid because Brett Brown, coach of the Sixers, he's been very vague about it, and he hasn't really given any hard, concrete updates. But Embiid says he's unlikely to play in game one. I mean, it's not completely ruled out, but he has said he's unlikely for him, and that's just coming from Embiid's words. But he was at the arena practicing. He's going to wear that black mask when he comes back. I would guesstimate game three, game four, mid-series, because he's going to be wanting to push to be out there. You know he doesn't want to miss a series, especially against Miami, one of the top five defensive teams in the league, it seems like, in the past half of the season. You know he doesn't want to miss the matchup with Whiteside. I mean, that, he's had so many duels with these centers, Andre Drummond, Karl Towns, Hassan Whiteside, all these Twitter and Instagram duels. So, you know he doesn't want to miss something like that. He's going to get out there. So I don't think he's going to miss that series completely. But that Philadelphia, man, you hit the nail on the head. The most interesting team. I updated my win-loss decreases and increases from last year. They increased their win total by 24 wins. They nearly doubled it from last year. I think that they are destined, and this is going to be my hot take. I'm not sure if it's so hot right now because the seedings have worked out for them. They're going to be in the Eastern Conference Finals. And it's wild to think that, because Ben Simmons is 21 and Embiid is, 23, 24-ish. It's wild to think that that team can already be in the East Finals, but the bracket has worked out for them, and Miami's going to be their toughest opponent to get there.
Hey, you're on radio. That's what we do, hot takes. There's nothing wrong with that at all. All right, I got about a minute here, Shane. Final question for you. The other most interesting team that I have in the playoffs, it comes in the West, and that's the Utah Jazz. Because to me, they are the best defensive team, if not in the league, definitely to me in the Western Conference. And that's a fascinating matchup with the Thunder, who you would think, if I just told you the Thunder, you would think off the top of your head, good offensive team. Well, they're actually, in my opinion, a better defensive team than they are an offensive team. Even though they have Russell Westbrook. What do you think about the Jazz, not just in this series against the Thunder, but moving forward in the playoffs?
What I think specifically about the series is that it's going to be really hard for them to score. It's already hard enough for Utah to score on its own against teams like Atlanta or something like that. We've seen that this season. They lost both to the Hawks and other bottom-tier teams. Putting them against another top-tier defense, it's going to be really hard to rely on a rookie to lead your team there. So that's first. And moving forward in their future, as long as they have Gobert, they are going to be a 45-ish win team because he changes the complexion of your defense. He forces players away from the paint. So that's the most fascinating matchup is Russell Westbrook, and is he going to just relentlessly, ruthlessly attack the paint? And because that is going to be wild to see. Gobert needs to stay out of foul trouble. And is Westbrook going to be inefficient against this number one defense in Utah?
Oh, it'll be so fascinating to find out. Shane Young has been our guest, NBA columnist and analyst for B-Ball Breakdown. Follow Shane on Twitter. You can follow him at YoungNBA. Thank you very much for the time, Shane.
Thank you, man.
We're back after this on SB Nation Radio.